Let the people mix to the Buddha first. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, before I start today's talk, let me ask you a question first. Do you afraid of death? Do you fear of death? Not afraid dying? Who is not afraid of death? Only one. The rest are fear of death. Then, second question, why should you fear of death? Why? Any answer? Huh? You know where you will go, okay? Some other answer? Why are you afraid of death? Because you are not afraid of death, so you should not answer. I'm asking those who are afraid of death. So you should investigate why. Huh? Why you're afraid of death? And Buddha give four reasons why beings afraid of death. Huh? Buddha say some beings afraid of death, some do not afraid of death. Why certain being afraid of death? Because of certain reasons, they're afraid of death. Okay, so this sutta come from Anguttara Nikaya, number 4, 184, numerical. So number 4, then sutta 184, fear of death. So once the Brahmin Janu Soni approached the Blessed One and addressed him thus, I maintain Master Gotama and hold the view that there is no mortal who does not fear death, who is not afraid of death. So this Brahmin assumed everybody fear of death. But Buddha say, there is indeed, Brahmin, such a mortal who fears death, who is afraid of death. But there is also a mortal who has no fear of death, who is not afraid of death. And who is the one who fears death, and the other who does not fear death? Since you are in the category of fear of death, so listen carefully. Why? There is, Brahmin, a person who is not free from the lust for sensual pleasure, not free from the desire and affection for them, not free from craving for sensual pleasures. Then it happens that a serious illness befalls him. Thus, afflicted by a serious illness, he thinks, oh, those beloved sensual pleasures will leave me, and I shall have to leave them. Thereupon, he grieves, laments, sorrows, weeps, beating his breast, and becomes deranged. This mortal is one who fears death, who is afraid of death. So this is the first reason why. Anyone who is not free from the lust for sensual pleasures, he is sure fear of death. then what is this sensual pleasures? Anything come to the senses, anything come to the six senses, any pleasant object, agreeable object that come to the six senses, that you delight in it, is called sensual pleasures. For example, the eyes want to see beautiful visible object. The ear, this beautiful and agreeable visible object, including your beloved one, your spouse, your son and daughter. All these are sensual objects as well. Not only a movie, TV program, iPad, all the programs in the iPhone and YouTube and so on. Not only that, including your beloved one, your eyes want to see your beloved person. This is also sensual pleasures. So the ear constantly want to listen to the sweet voice from your beloved one. When your beloved one talks sweetly to you, or want to listen to any sweet song, music, and so on. Or want to listen to praise. You like people to praise you and so on. This also sensual pleasures. Okay? Similarly, the nose want to smell fragrance. Especially women. They like to spray fragrance. Maybe to attract men. This also sensual pleasures. Okay? And the tongue want to eat delicious food. The body want to have touch, soft touch. Opposite sex touch, the touch from opposite sex. From your beloved person, from your wife and husband, your spouse, your son and daughter, and so on. This is also sensual pleasures. And the mind keep on thinking fantasy. What you cannot achieve in this life, that can be achieved through your dreaming. Now you can dream for it, although you cannot achieve it personally, but you can dream, daydreaming. So you enjoy in your thoughts, you enjoy in your fantasy. All these are called sensual pleasures. So if suddenly a serious illness happened to you, then you start to sorrow, because you have to leave all your beloved one, right? You have to leave your beloved son and daughter, your wife and husband, your parents, and so on. That's why you feel sorrow. This is one of the reasons why you fear of death. Okay, the second reason, Buddha said, further, Brahmin, there is a person who is not free from the lust for this body. Not free from the desire and affection for it. Not free from craving for the body. Here, craving for the body by way of greed and wrong view. You think you crave for the body. You think the body is mine by way of craving. And you think the body, you identify the body is myself. This is by way of wrong view. So because you lust for the body, you love your body, and you think the body belongs to yourself. So when you have such idea, when you have such identification and wrong view, when the illness, serious illness happened to you, then Buddha said, then he think, oh, this beloved body will leave me. Soon I will have to I have to throw away this body, and I shall have to leave this body. Then he grieved, he becomes sorrow, lamentation, he beat his breast and becomes deranged. So in order to overcome attachment to the body, we practitioner has many ways to overcome the attachment to the body. For example, we contemplate the repulsiveness of the body, to feel disgust, disenchanted towards the body. And we practice Atinawa Sanya. We contemplate the danger of this body. Because of having this body, we have various types of sickness. We have headache, eye disease, heart attack, lung disease, various types of cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, diarrhea. All this sickness come from having a body. Without this body, you will have no pain at all, right? You're sitting there for 10 hours, no pain. But having the body, half an hour is like 2 hours because of pain. So in fact, having the body causes you a lot of suffering. However, we as ordinary person, we perceive differently. We perceive body, having the body provide us happiness, enjoyment. Because all the enjoyment of 6 senses, all through 5 senses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, all through the body. Without this body, you cannot enjoy anything, right? And because of that, human being attached to the body. So in order to get detached to the body, you have to contemplate the danger of the body. We call adinawa sanya, the perception of danger. Having this body, then sometimes you get attacked by other people, you get car accident, then one hand gone. So all the sickness, pain come from having the body. This is called contemplate the perception of danger of this body. Okay. So this is the second reason. The third reason, further, Brahmin, there's a person who has not done anything good and wholesome, who has not made a shelter for himself, but he has done what is evil, wicked. Then it happens that a serious illness befalls him, thus afflicted by a serious illness, he thinks, I have not done anything good and wholesome. I have not made a shelter for myself, but I have done what is evil, wicked. I shall go hereafter to the destiny, to the bad destiny of those who do such bad deeds. This is the reason many people fear of that, because they don't know where they are going to reborn. Right? If you know you are going to reborn in heaven, maybe you should pray, may I die now. Right? Because human is full of suffering. Human life is full of suffering. If I know I'm going to reborn, guarantee, insurance, I'm going to reborn as human, as Deva, I will pray to die now. I'm not afraid of death at all. Right? Because Deva realm is much better than human realm. At least no mental, no physical suffering. Yeah. And it's because we do not know where we are going to reborn, therefore we fear of death. But why you do not have confidence in your next destination? You should ask yourself this question. Why you have no confidence in your next destination? I am not afraid of that, because I'm full of confidence. I will go to good plane of existence. Why I have this confidence? Because when I reflect my life, I see I have done so many good deeds, for myself, for other people. So why should I be afraid of that? I'm not going to fall abaya. I'm not going to fall lower worlds. Therefore, Buddha also mentioned, who has not made a shelter for himself? Who has done unwholesome things? Who has not do good things? Not enough good things? then this person will have fear when a serious illness falls before him. And when serious illness befalls him, before death take place, before death takes place, he will see different types of nimitta. A dying person will see one of the three nimittas. One is called karma, the second one is called karma nimitta, the third one is called gati nimitta. What is karma? For a dying person, he will see, let's say, a butcher, a fisherman. Fisherman, his habitual action is fishing. So he kill a lot of fish. This is called evil, wicked actions. So before that takes place, he will see himself fishing again. This is called karma. So a dying person see himself fishing, do you think he will feel happy or sad? Sad. Because it's unwholesome karma. This is called karma. Okay? Karma nimitta is the instrument one use when perform the karma. Same thing, this fisherman, when during dying person, during dying moment, he may see his fishing, how to call? Rod. Fishing rod or his boat for catching all the fish. So he will see all these things. This is called karma nimitta. Gati nimitta, gati means destination. Where are you going to reborn? So if this fisherman, during his dying moment, he will see fire. Fire come out from the hell. And he will shout it, very hot, very hot. If there's anyone beside him, this person may not understand why he say hot. It's in the aircon room. It's in the aircon room. Why he shouted hot? Because he see gati nimitta. And this gati nimitta appear due to his own karma. And it's not our karma, therefore we cannot see. This gati nimitta only appear to those who committed that karma. This is called gati nimitta, the sign of destination. So when I was in Pa'au, I interviewed many yogis. Those in the past life, they are fishermen. Most of them go to the hell. They see their past life. After fishermen, the second life, they go to hell. Many of them. And also another bad action that I have interviewed through many yogi is sexual misconduct. Like a married man go after another people's wife, or a married woman go after another person's husband. You commit sexual misconduct. For most cases also, they have to pay for it in the next life. Therefore, Buddha say, keep your five precepts. Why Buddha say keep five precepts? Not because Buddha want to busybody control your action. You know, you go perform sexual misconduct, it's nothing to do with Buddha, right? Why he should so busybody ask you not to do this, not to do that? Why? Out of compassion. Because through his divine eyes, he sees. Through his divine eyes, he saw many people commit bad action and go to hell. Therefore, out of compassion, he want you to free from suffering, from the misery, from falling into hell realms. So he asks you not to do this, not to do that. Not because he is busybody. And out of compassion, he asks you to do dana, to do sila, to do bhavana, to meditate for you. As if you cannot attain nibbana, but relying on this all wholesome deeds, you can go to deva realm. You can go to good destination in the future. Not deva realm, also human realm again. So out of compassion, Buddha say, avoid all evils, do good. Cultivate, purify your mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Very easy. Therefore, if a person has not done anything good and wholesome, then he may have fear when the serious illness befalls him. But if you have done enough good deed, for example, you have given enough service in the monastery, you have given enough dana, you have kept your precept well, then you also have meditated enough, reading the sutta, then you have a lot of merit. We have 10 merits. For example, first listening to the Dhamma, dana, service, rejoicing in other people's merit, then preaching the Dhamma, all this wholesome kusala karma, if you have done enough, then you should not have fear when serious illness befalls you. If you have enough, if you have accumulated enough good karma, you still fear of death. That is unseemingly. So if you still fear of death, then go back, do more dana. Keep your 5 precepts well. Listen to the Dhamma, talk more. Cut down your enjoyment from sensual pleasures. Don't attach too much to your family. For a family, in fact, is a bondage. It's a serious bondage to one's freedom. You may not understand now. Or you may understand now already. Okay. So I don't mean that you go back divorce. No. Just that you don't put all your time, energy to your family only. Because one day they will leave you also. You will leave them. They also will leave you. As Buddha say, when they leave you or you leave them, then you fear. You afraid of that because you are going to leave them or they are going to leave you. If you fear of that, at your death moment, if you are obsessed, your mind is obsessed by the fear, then you cannot recollect all your wholesome deeds anymore. Right? Even though you have done a lot of wholesome deeds. But during dying moment, because of your beloved family crying, they don't want to leave you, so you also don't want to leave them. Then after you die, you come back to your same home as hungry ghost. Because you don't want to leave them, so you have to stay in the same house. But now, different world anymore. No more human world. You, hungry ghost, your family, human. You cannot communicate with each other as well. Therefore, in Buddhist culture, when any relative is going to die, we are not supposed to cry. If you cry, you make the dying person very emotional. Then they are not going to have good rebirth. So bear in mind, Buddha's culture very different from Chinese culture. Chinese culture, you cry louder, it shows that you are you are very xiaosun. Xiaozi, cry louder, it's better. But in Buddhist culture, no crying. You have to let the dying person go peacefully. This is the knowledge that you should learn. Okay. And when I talk about this karma nimitta and gati nimitta, that reminded me one incident when I was in America. When I was in Michigan, I give a talk about dying moment, what people see during dying moment. So I explain one by one. Then one of the American approached me and told me, he said that, "Sister, only now I understand why my mother say such word during her dying moment." My mom said, 20 years ago, my mom said that during her dying moment, his mom mumbled, remember, huh? His mom said that the God did not forgive me. Because Christian, he said the God did not forgive me, then die. So for 20 years, he cannot understand. Why his mom said like that? He said, my mom is such a devoted Christian. Why the God did not forgive her? He cannot understand. After he listened to my talk, I think he believed that his mom had seen unhappy Nimitta that will bring her to maybe to hell, I don't know. That's why his mom said, the God did not forgive me. So after 20 years, he got the answer. And that's one, another incident is when I was in Australia, I also give the same talk. I like to give this talk because this talk attracts people. We all have to die, right? And we all will see some sort of nimitta. But many people cannot understand why. So after listening to this talk, many people get a clear understanding. So when I give this talk, one audience approached me. She told me that many years ago, her husband dying of cancer. Before that took place, and her husband was a meditator, so he rejected to take morphine. So he meditated. Her husband meditated. Then one day, her husband told her, he said, very bright, very bright. And she cannot understand why her husband said like that. And she quickly switched off the light. She go and switch off the light. After switching off the light, the husband still said, very bright. I said, I have already switched off the light. And he still said, very bright. What can I do? So she cannot do anything. So this question puzzled her for many years. Only after she listened to my talk, she start to have some understanding. Maybe her husband is seeing the karma nimitta, gati nimitta. Because when you see the dewa ram, it's very bright. If you are going to reborn as dewa, you will see lightness, brightness. So her husband saw a brightness, which indicate he was going to reborn in Deva realm. But she cannot understand because she has no Dharma base. She has no this understanding, so she get very confused. Why? Okay. Therefore, if you have do enough wholesome deed, you find a shelter for yourself, you should not fear of that. That's what Buddha said. If you still fear of that, then do more good. Do more wholesome deeds. Okay. And cut down the attachment to sensual pleasures, cut down attachment to your body. Okay, the last one. Further, Brahmin, there's a person who has not done, sorry. Further, Brahmin, there's a person who has doubts and perplexity. Doubts and perplexity about the good Dharma and has not come to certainty in it. Then it happens that a serious illness befalls him, thus afflicted by a serious illness, he thinks, oh, I'm full of doubt and perplexity about the good Dharma, and I have not come to certainty in it. Now thereupon, he grieves, sorrows, lament, weeps, and becomes deranged. This is the model. Two is one who fears death, who is afraid of death. A person, Buddha say, dulabo, budu pado lokasmin. Du labo manusata pati labo. Du labo sadhamma sawanang. Real is arising of Buddha in this world. Very real is listen to the good Dharma. And real is to become human beings. And this person, when he meet with Buddha's dispensation, when he's so lucky enough to be reborn as human being, and he's so lucky enough to listen to the good Dhamma, and yet he has not come to certainty in the Dhamma. He still has doubt and perplexity about the good Dhamma. So when the death is approaching, because he still has uncertainty, because he still has perplexity in Dhamma, his mind is confused. When a person dies with confused mind, unhappy destination is expected. Therefore, I want to encourage you, since you are also lucky enough to be reborn as human being, you are lucky enough to listen to good Dhamma, you are lucky enough to meet with Buddha's dispensation, because Buddha's teaching is still alive. And you are lucky enough to associate with good person, you must have confidence. You must have confidence in it. You should not let doubt, perplexity to obsess your mind. If you have doubt, find a teacher to clarify all your doubt. And this good Dhamma including what? Including the law of karma. The law of karma, including the practice leading towards the end of cessation, the end of suffering, which is sila, morality, concentration, and wisdom. Sila, samadhi, panya. All these are good Dhamma. You should not doubt about it. But in case you are still doubtful, you have to find a teacher to clarify all your doubt before any serious illness before you, so that you will not have sorrow, you will not have regret, lamentation like this person. Okay, so Buddha say, this Brahmin are the four beings who fear death and are afraid of death. So you fall on which category? Check your own mind. Why you fear of that? If you are not fall in this four category, then you should not fear of that. And Buddha said, there's also a person who is not afraid of that. What are the four? Just the opposite with what I mentioned just now. First, he has no lust for sensual pleasures. Second, he has no lust for his body. Third, he has done enough good deeds, wholesome deeds, that support him to be reborn in heavenly realm. Number fourth, he has confidence in the triple gems. He has confidence in the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. He has confidence in the good Dhamma. So, if a person possesses these four qualities, then Buddha say, you should not fear of that. So try hard to get rid of all these four that cause you fear when death approaching. Okay. So after this Dhamma talk, and this Brahmin Janusoni was very delighted. He said, excellent, Master Gotama. Let Master Gotama accept me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge from today until life's end. So Buddha's Dhamma talk always inspired people. Inspired people, after listening to his talk, he want to follow what Buddha preached and want to become the follower of Buddha and take refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. So in the same way, I hope you can continue walk the path and have confidence in the good Dhamma because you do not know how lucky you are. You do not know how lucky you are to have human rebirth, how lucky you are to meet with dispensation of the Buddha, and you do not know how lucky you are to meet with good person. Only when you lose all this, then you will start to know. And because now you have all this, so you do not know how lucky you are. Until you lose it only, you know. Right? So when one day government say, no more Buddha's teaching in Malaysia, then you will know at the time how unlucky you are. This is a human nature. We don't know how to appreciate when the value is there. This is human nature. Okay, thank you so much for today's talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.